Hebrews chapter 11. Please turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue looking at the example of Moses and his courageous faith. We will take this week and, Lord willing, next week. It's been reminded me many times lately, I can make plans, but then God redirects them. I love standing here, seeing people as I have the opportunity to preach. But Lord willing, we'll come back next week and we'll finish the second half of this story where God led the people of Israel and Moses as the one who was kind of the one leading the folks to the Red Sea and then crossing the Red Sea. We've been actually trying for a couple weeks to find a visual illustration of this process that could help our children really see, how God did this amazing miracle. The best we can come up with is Prince of Egypt right now, so that may be a little clip next week. We'll see, but I am so excited to be able to share God's word with you today. And if you would look at chapter 11 of Hebrews in verse 29, actually let's go back to 24 just so we can kind of get the context as we move forward. 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who is unseen. That's kind of where we left off the last time we were together in Hebrews 11. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. So there's one verse in 29 that describes this amazing experience of the people of God. And so we're going to actually look at Exodus 14 that gives more of a detailed perspective of this event. But when we think of the life of Moses, he is truly a great example for us when it comes to faith. He was not perfect in any way. He had many faults. He made really bad choices. But he trusted God, and he made a lot of wise choices. And so we look at him as a real person who we can identify, who came to many situations that were difficult and hard, and he continued to walk through them, sometimes fully trusting, sometimes showing doubt and question. But he is given as an example to us of what it looks like to live by faith. Here's some other things that are said about Moses in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, for all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. So when we think of the many prophets that are, described in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, the scripture identifies here that Moses really is the greatest of all prophets. He was given this title because of what God called him to do and how he walked by faith through each of these circumstances. Here's another passage, Numbers chapter 12, 6 through 8. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household, describing the faith of Moses, that he was a loyal follower of God, and he wanted to obey God, and he trusted God even when it was difficult. With him, the scripture says, I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Again, it's a description of how special Moses was in God's eyes, that he was the greatest prophet that ever came through the people of Israel. And God had a special relationship. It was more of an intimate relationship. It was something he would speak directly to, not through meditation or visions and dreams like God did with the other prophets. But this man had the opportunity to really spend personal time with God and know exactly what God wanted him to do. He's a great example for us to consider. As well, the scripture tells us, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. That is quite a description for someone who had such privilege. For someone who was considered the greatest prophet in the history of these people, and the one who God chose to speak directly to, it did not cause pride in his life. It did not cause him to think that he was something special. It did not do what many times accomplishments do for us in our flesh. We like to think that we are important. We like to think that we're special. We like to think that we have really accomplished things. Well, here's a man who was described as one of the greatest, and yet what it did for him was cause him to go low. The Bible says there's at the time that Moses lived, there was not a more humble man on the earth. That is a tremendous example of great privilege, great position, great personal, intimate connection with God, and yet it brought humility in his life. It brought him low. So Moses really is someone who we should be thinking about and really considering. That's why I'm walking through this section of Scripture very, very slow. And even as I chose how many verses to walk through in Exodus 14 this week, I don't want to rush it. I want this to settle in. We have all the time in the world, as far as we know. God may have other plans. But I want us to really consider this man, Moses, and his example of faith. Now he was one who displayed his faith in many ways, and his faith in God, and that's what the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:6. You must believe that he is, that God is. You have to have faith in a person, the person of God, the three in one. He had faith in God, and that faith in God enabled him to live out the will of God. And living out the will of God really was something that we can see in the scripture, that what motivated him was what we even described, read earlier in our Bible verse, that he was looking forward to the reward. It is impossible to please God without faith. And faith is that we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so wherever we find ourselves, here in 2020, we must be striving to walk by faith. We may have little faith, and we need to acknowledge that, and we need to strive to grow. We may have more faith and be in a pretty good place in our lives and believe God and believe the future he has for us, but we still need to grow. And you say, you know, I'm doing fantastic. I love the word. I'm in it. God has given me confidence in this day, and I just rejoice in all that God's doing. That's great, but there's still room for growth. We must always be striving to please our God in this area. He wants us to walk by faith. And Moses had such a strong conviction. And the things that were hoped for, he hoped for something that was coming down the road. And he had a conviction in the God that he could not see and the future that God had for him. That was his faith. And the scripture tells us that his faith enabled him to refuse the things outside of God's will. Just for review for us, I wanted to kind of give you an outline over the last several weeks so you could kind of understand where we've gone, or where we've come from, and where we're headed. But his faith gave him the strength to refuse the things outside of God's will. We read earlier, that was the position, the position of being the daughter of the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and all of the things that would come with that, the power, the fame, the honor. He refused that. As well, he refused the pleasure, the pleasures of sin that's described there, that he chose rather to be identified with the people of God. And so he was able to refuse things that were outside of God's will for him. And then he had the plenty of Egypt that he could have enjoyed, the treasures of Egypt, it says, at his disposal. But that wasn't the path that God had for Moses. And God has a specific tailor-made path for all of us. And we must understand that God has designed every part of our lives, and He wants us to walk by faith. And maybe sometimes it does include plenty. Sometimes it does include more of a dry spell. But whichever path God has for us, we must submit to it. His faith also allowed him to choose the path within God's will. And that was the path of, as I mentioned, identifying with God's people and being willing to go through the ill treatment that it would cause to give up his position in order to be identified with God's people. And he chose the reproach of Christ. He chose to endure the suffering that the Messiah eventually would go through and identify along those lines. Because he was looking forward. He was looking forward to the reward. His faith enabled him to overcome the fear of man. Moses, you can imagine, having a personal relationship probably with Pharaoh on some degree. Now, a lot of the movies, you know, portray that in different ways that have tried to reenact this whole story. But on some level would have had a relationship, but certainly would have understood how great this man was and how much power he had. And yet, it says that he was willing to really go against that. He did not fear man. He did not fear Pharaoh, but he chose to follow God. His personal security was in his God, the God who he could not see, as it tells us there in the scripture in verse 27. Faith also enabled him to obey, even though it seems strange. And remember, we talked about the Passover where God gave the instructions about the lamb and hold the lamb, the perfect lamb, for 14 days and then kill the lamb and put blood on your doorposts and take the leaven out of your food and then put the bitter herbs in there and all of these things that God was asking his people to do that probably seemed strange in that moment. But it was the thing that God was going to, if they exercised faith, God was going to preserve them and fulfill his promise through this Passover, which gave us a picture of our Savior and our Messiah. But his faith enabled him to look at these instructions, even though they seemed a little bit strange, perhaps. He was still willing to walk by faith. So that's where we've come from. And in the fifth part about Moses' life, and the last part that we'll look at here in the next 2 weeks, is that his faith enabled him to trust God in the toughest of circumstances. His faith enabled him to trust God in the toughest of circumstances. His faith strengthened his trust in God. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 14, because this is just a brilliant story, and it's so helpful for us as we see how God interacted with his people and what he did for them during these days. Exodus 14, and there's many ways that this could be outlined, but I think one of the simplest ways that I read a book years ago called The Red Sea Rules by Robert Morgan, and he outlines this very simply. And so I've chosen to kind of use his outlines because it just walks through in a real helpful way for us as we kind of walk through this experience that God's people had. But Exodus chapter 14, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi Ahira, Between Migdal and the sea, you shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it, by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. So just so you can understand, perhaps you weren't here a couple weeks ago, but God has allowed his people to come out of Egypt, a massive amount of people. He is leading them, and Moses is told to take them to a place that from a human perspective would not be good strategy. You know, so many times from our vantage point, when God takes us places, and trust me, my brother and sister in Christ, God is taking you through every circumstance of your life. I was talking with a friend in the church this week, and he reminded me of a preacher who once said, there's not one molecule that's out of control that is not within the providence and sovereignty of God. Not one. So therefore, if that's true, every part of our lives would fall under God's providence and his sovereignty. And that's in your life personally, where you currently are. We find here that God's people are in a really tough spot. From a human perspective, it would look like to Pharaoh that these people are completely hemmed in. You have the Red Sea on one side, and you have all of these these barriers, and here comes the Egyptians. And so they're stuck. They're trapped. You know, I think the principle that we can understand is that we must realize that God means for you to be where you are. God means for you to be right where you are. There's no plan B with God. There's always plan A. If he's sovereign, if he's in control of it all, right where you are, it's no accident. You may have been tempted in the last few days to think, God, I don't like this circumstance. I don't want to be here, and I want you to change it. I say that on a regular basis, actually. And I think we all do when we're in tough situations. And from a human perspective, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem logical. It's not how it was supposed to all add up, because we have formulas and we think in those terms, and we think if we do this and we do this and we do this, everything's going to work out. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't. And God allows us to enter into these circumstances that are very, very tough and very, very difficult. And he wants us to trust him because he really designed it for us to be there. And we have the children of Israel at this place. The Lord directed them there. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I think every single person who's here this morning and watching online would be able to say when they started 2020, this year, they had plans. We all had plans. And those plans made sense to us from a very human perspective. And then all of a sudden, this happened. And God actually took our plans and he says, no, actually, I am going to have these steps for you. Now, who knows where it started? Who knows why it started? Who knows how it all was delivered? You've seen as much as I have. But you must come to the place, wherever you are, where you would understand nothing happened apart from God's sovereignty. Not one part of this. It's all in his hands. And yes, it is frustrating when God takes our paths and he makes them crooked. Because we like nice, picture-perfect roads, and we like paths that are easy. And then God says, nope, I want you to go here, and then here, and here. The toughest of circumstances are from the hand of God. He allows them into our lives. And he allows them for a purpose. So God says to Moses, I want you to turn and I want you to camp in this place, and it may look crazy to you, but it is right where I want you. It takes faith from a leadership perspective. I mean, think about Moses. He has all these people and all their opinions and all their ideas to deal with. But there was one that was most important, one voice that he needed to listen to. The voice of God saying, I've got you. Take them here. And you know, my friend, this morning, can you listen to the right voice? Listen to the voice of God that says, I have you. And I have taken you right where I want you. And submit. Just say, okay, God, I submit to your sovereign hand. Your providence is working out my life, and I will submit. Many times our first reaction is to panic, as if God is not in control of things. And that's why it's such a big deal to walk by faith, because many times we live in fear, constant fear. It can cripple us. It can do things to our mind. We can go places that God never intends or will even allow us to go, but we can go there in our mind because we have created this hypothetical situation because of the situation we're in. We must realize that when we're in difficult spaces, God has either placed you there or he's allowed you to be there for reasons perhaps known only to him. You say, well, I want to know. I like to be in control. I like to know what's going on. I get it. Many of us are have the same kind of personalities. But we must come back to truth. The God who led you where you are, he will lead you through. He will. And we have to trust him. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised. Let me repeat that. Do not be surprised when a fiery ordeal is among you, which comes upon you for your testing. And don't look at it as though some strange thing is happening to you. Wow, that is a little convicting. Because how many times over the last several weeks have I probably complained and said, man, and it was strange and it was difficult, and it still is to some degree. Thankfully, we're going back to some normalcy. But the scripture says we shouldn't be surprised by these things. When God takes our paths that we had picture perfectly planned and he bends them, and he takes it, we should not be surprised, because they're for our testing. They're for our sanctification. God wants to do something in our lives. So we should not look at it as though something strange is happening to us. I know it's hard and it's difficult. If you find yourself in a difficult spot, I know one church member this last week accompanied their daughter to her first cancer appointment. Those are the kind of things you just don't plan on. Sometimes it's like, oh, God, do it to me, but don't do it to my children. If you find yourself in a difficult spot, remember you are there by God's appointment. And he's keeping you. And he's training you. And it is according to his timetable. Now, for the children of Israel, they were at a place in this difficult spot, and within a couple days, God was going to show and reveal himself in a mighty way. But for others, even in my own life, It's the same spot. And so many times you feel like you're just on that treadmill, just experiencing the same hardship. But God has us there. And He's got us there for a purpose. The second thing I want us to consider here from Exodus 14 is that we really should, and I get this is difficult, we really should be more concerned about God's glory than our relief. If we're created, and it tells us in Isaiah that we were created for God's glory, if that's why we are here, then we should be more concerned about His glory than our personal relief. We want the circumstance to be solved, and we want it to end, and we want to go back to peace and security. And God says, this whole point of this is because I'm the Creator, and I want to display my glory in your life. Look in Exodus 14, it says there in verse 3, I explained, for Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly. God wanted Pharaoh to believe that there was no purpose behind any of this, and that the land has shut them in. Thus, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army and the Egyptians, and they will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Other parts in this chapter, we'll look at it eventually. But verse 17, he says, I will be honored through Pharaoh. Verse 18, I am honored through Pharaoh. When I am honored through Pharaoh. God allowed this whole experience, bringing the children through all the plagues and all the power that was displayed, and then to this final display of God's power where He is going to stop the sea and cause it to stand up and allow these people of God to walk through. God is designing all of this to display to the world that He is God. That's His design. And we are here to display God's power. How are those people so different that they can experience such hardship and they can survive and they have great hope? That all goes to displaying the power of God and really giving Him glory. And that's what these tough experiences are meant to do. God says, I will be honored through this. I'm going to take Pharaoh's heart and I'm going to harden it, and he will see that I am God. So he took God's people, he took his own people who he loved and who he cared for, and he put them in a tight place. He put them in a rough spot so that he could be glorified. And he's doing the same for you. If you will let him. If you will respond appropriately, he will display his glory in your life. Hudson Taylor said this, I know he tries me only to increase my faith, and that is all in love. And well, if he is glorified, I will be content. Now that's to come to that place in your Christian life. To come to a place where you accept the hardest of circumstances so that someone outside of yourself can receive glory, that takes maturity. It takes someone who really does believe that there is something better down the road. It really does take a heart of faith to believe this. And God's people through the years have learned this and understood this. Remember, the disciples said to the blind man, who sinned in this man's life? Was it the blind man who sinned, or was it some relative? And Jesus said, no, it was not him. It was not anyone around him. It was so that my power would be displayed in his life. That's why God allowed that tough place. You say, wow. Blindness, so that God could be glorified? Yes. Lazarus' death, same response. You say, well, that's you know, not very loving. But think about Jesus himself, what he went through. In John 12, 27 and 28, "But for this purpose I came to this hour, so that my Father would be glorified." Our own Savior walked this path. In the toughest of circumstance, he said, "It is for this purpose, so that my Father will be glorified." I was talking to another church member this week, and they've gone through a rough season because of this, and events were changed, and then even something came up in the last few days, and it was like, "Oh, is it going to be changed again?" And her response was, we're just going to try to respond to this so that God will be glorified. And I'm thinking about this message. I'm like, yes, that's it. When God significantly alters your path and it's tough and hard, our response of faith should be, "Okay, God, display your glory." My goodness, that's difficult. That is not an easy response. But it's the right response. He wants us to see this trial as a way to glorify him. Number three, we acknowledge that we have an enemy. Acknowledge your enemy. But keep your eye on the Lord and seek him. Let's go back in the text. It says in verse 5, "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people and said, 'What is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. He took 600 select chariots and all other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea." So you have the situation where Pharaoh's heart turned cold, and he had been brought to a place of humility after his firstborn son had died, and he let the people go, and then his heart was hardened again by the providence of God, and God directed him through this whole thing that he would respond in anger. He's like, "What? They're not serving us anymore? We're crazy. We got to go get them. We got to bring them back here." And it says that he took every chariot, 600 chariots, all the people of Egypt fled to get the children of Israel back. It's quite an enemy. Quite an enemy. And he probably looked pretty strong to the people of Israel. In fact, I know he does, because look back in the text. Verse 10, "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became frightened." And then it says, "So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord." So you have God's people in the toughest of circumstance. God saying, "I will be glorified. There's a purpose behind all this." And yet the enemy is right there. Like, from a human perspective, you have the Red Sea and you have the Egyptians. And the Egyptians look pretty tough. They are completely hemmed in. God wants us to run to him during these moments. Right? We acknowledge we have an enemy. The scripture is very clear that the enemy is prowling around. He's trying to devour us. He is powerful. He's the God of this world. He wants to destroy God's children. We acknowledge that he's there. They saw them. Their response was, they were scared to death. They were frightened. It says they cried to the Lord, but I don't think they were displaying faith here. I think they were in fear, running to God, because continue on the text, "Then they said to Moses, 'Is because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not the word that we have spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. I don't think the people of God were displaying great faith in this moment. I think they were looking at their enemy, and I think they were looking at it from a very human perspective, and they thought they were going to die. And in that moment, they were like, Moses, it's your fault. Why did you do this? You've brought us here. We're completely hemmed in. There's no way out. We must acknowledge the enemy. We can't, you know, keep our heads in the sand and realize that, you know, we battle with everything that Satan and all of those who serve him throw against us. We understand there's an enemy, but we understand that our God is able to get us through. And we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to question. We want to, many times we do. But God has given us the power. It says, resist him. Resist the evil one, and he will flee from you. Put on the armor of God and know the resources that are there for you to keep on going, even when it's difficult. When the devil orchestrates attacks against us, our response is to draw nigh to God and be thankful for what we have in our position in Christ and the grace that is there and the freedom from our sin, and keep trusting God. But the people of Israel, and I'm no better. I probably would looked at the Egyptians and thrown up the white flag, knowing my heart. But that's why it's here. We have examples. Okay, don't do this. Don't respond like these people. Respond like Moses. Moses trusted the Lord. The last thing we'll consider this morning, stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Look back in the text. Notice Moses' response in verse 13. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And those are great words. Those are healing words. Those are helpful building words. That Moses, trusting in God, would look at the circumstances and all the difficulty and everything that was surrounding them, and hearing the complaints of God's people and the criticism, he would say, stop. Do not fear. Over 100 times in the Old Testament, we're told not to fear. I think over 40 times in the New Testament, do not fear. Stop. Just stop complaining. Stop criticizing. Stop questioning. Stop doubting. Just stop fearing. Wait and see the salvation of the Lord. He will accomplish it. In Moses' words, there's no question. He will accomplish it. Stop fearing. Trust the Lord. Stay calm. Be confident in their God. And give him time to work. And it may be immediate for you. Most times it's not. Most times it just keeps going on and on and on. But we live by faith because we know, right? We're convicted of something down the road. We can't see it, but we have the assurance of things that we hope for, and we're convicted of things that we have not seen. But in God's goodness, He let us have a picture of what He has done for people in the past. Like this amazing experience that God specifically allowed His people to be so hemmed in where it seemed absolutely impossible, but He wanted to do it so that He could be glorified. And we can learn what the right response looks like. Stop fearing. See the salvation of the Lord. Because He's going to accomplish some amazing things. You know, there's a verse, and I think I've kind of landed, this will be our verse for next month. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. No matter your circumstance, no matter what's going on, the Lord delights in the impossible. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not fret. If you're in a difficult spot, you need to come to grips with all of these things because these are straight from the text. God has you there for a purpose. He wants to be glorified in your life. Understand your circumstances, even your enemy, but may it cause you to run to your God. And not fear, but trust. Trust that He is going to accomplish. And wait patiently. Wait patiently. He alone can part your waters. Nothing you can do, nothing you can manipulate, nothing you can control. He alone can part your waters. You got to trust Him. We got to trust Him. Would you bow as we close together? I know that we have all kind of walked through this season of time experiencing some of the similar things. So I do know that the great big trial of our lives recently, we've kind of all experienced it. But so many here today and even watching are probably experiencing something more personal than even the changes that have taken place because of the pandemic. Very personal, tailor-made circumstances by our good God who has you right where He wants you to display His glory, strengthen your trust, and work for His good. Would you just submit your heart to Him today? Would you just acknowledge that He has you right where He wants you, and there's a purpose behind it, and He alone can give you the strength by His grace to trust Him. Submission's a hard thing, but it's what God calls us to do. God, help us to be a people who submit. Who submit to your providence and your sovereign lordship in our lives. Help us to believe that you have good purposes behind your plans. You want to display your glory in our lives. God, help us to rely upon your strength, not fearing our adversary or anything that he can bring against us, but believing that you are the all-powerful God and you can help us through. While we wait, God, give us patience. Give us endurance. Give us faith. Thank you for your great love for us that was displayed through Jesus. Thank you that we no longer are bound by our sin, but we are redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. And we have wonderful hope as we look towards the future of what we have waiting for us beyond this life. An eternity that's full of your rewards, your presence, your glory, your kindness. Lord, help us. Help us to trust you as we wait. Thank you, God, for your word that instructs us, strengthens us, and helps us. Help us to go from this place and really strive to apply it. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.